This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang, Gatestone, Newsweek, and The Hill. And we're joined by Cleo Pascal, a senior fellow at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, to help us interpret striking headlines from the Global Times, which is an English-language newspaper, to my knowledge, closely associated with the Chinese Communist Party, the rulers of mainland China. The threat here is very straightforward, nothing subtle. Global Times is saying that there will be a ballistic missile attack on Australia if Australia makes any incursion, that's in quotes, towards Taiwan. This has to do with the question of Australia supporting, in some fashion, the democracy of Taiwan, although it seems generalized. A ballistic missile on Australia, China's perfectly aware, would not stay in Australia. It would involve the United States and the whole world. Cleo, very good evening to you. This is strange language. It goes on to say that China will respond with force to, quote, retaliatory punishment over any incursions towards Taiwan. I don't want to do psychology, but what is the audience for this? Is this a domestic audience, or are we to puzzle over the Chinese having lost common sense?
Good evening. I think there are multiple audiences to it. And by the way, if there's going to be an incursion in Taiwan, it'll be coming from Beijing. It'll be a defense from the point of view of everybody else. Yes, they're trying to rattle Australia. It's very important for them to try to get Australia to cease its quite admirable standing up to the Chinese Communist Party. They've been under focused attack, economic, diplomatic, and strategic in terms of positioning new potential Chinese emplacements across Oceania, and they've been standing their ground on it. And it's a very bad example from a Beijing point of view for other countries in the region to show that, you know what, you can't stand up to Beijing. And in fact, the more that do together, the weaker China's position is, obviously. So I think that they're kind of throwing a bunch of things at the wall and seeing what will stick and who will come to their defense. And this is a pretty big threat. I mean, I don't quite understand why there isn't more of a pushback on it.
Gordon, is this wolf warrior? It seems odd, as in, who's the audience for this, Gordon?
Well, I think the audience is not just Australia, and Cleo has laid out the reasons why Australia is Beijing's target, but also I think it's other countries in the region, basically saying that anyone who comes to Taiwan's help is going to be subject to missile attacks from China. So really, it's an attempt to isolate Taipei, and as Cleo was suggesting, it doesn't look like it's working.
But Gordon, isn't this beyond wolf warrior? I mean, that was about harsh language being directed on social media. This is a threat of a war that would quickly grow to a global catastrophe.
Yeah, I think this illustrates how China right now is adopting external policies which are really belligerent and provocative, much more so than, let's say, even a year ago. So it shows a dangerous trend under Xi Jinping. And I'm sure a lot of Chinese diplomats and officials, they understand that this is not in Beijing's interest for the reasons Cleo says. But really, this is being driven by Xi Jinping, and so nobody can really resist, at least for the moment.
You have a question for Cleo, Gordon.
Cleo, Australia started on Beijing's bad side because it asked for an independent investigation into COVID-19. Where does that stand right now in terms of Australia? Because I imagine there must be a lot of voices in Canberra and elsewhere who are saying that Australia should not bear the brunt of this and basically Australia should back down. I mean, what are people talking about right now in Australia?
Yeah, it's a bit of a civil war on that front internally, which is why it's kind of very admirable that the Morrison government is standing its ground and, in fact, pushing forward and, scrapping the Belt and Road engagement with one of the states and, you know, really, really holding its ground in a way that it's admirable. But the problem is that Australia, you know, isn't just Australia. As you mentioned, it's kind of that the whole region is watching. And in fact, we have Australia as part of our Five Eyes intelligence sharing agreement. And it plays a very important role in places like Melanesia, which are highly strategic, and even in terms of engagement with places like Indonesia. So the core is holding now, but there's still, unfortunately, I think some wiggle room around the edges, in the Pacific Islands, for example, and in other areas, because Beijing has had decades to put sympathetic people in place, throughout the Australian system, and the Australian system has spread it across the region. The Australians know it. And the ones that are concerned about Beijing are doing what they can. But this is kind of far from game over.
The intent to intimidate is obvious, so I'm not going to do psychology here. But Australia is part of Five Eyes. Certainly, Beijing knows that by threatening part of Five Eyes, you're threatening all of it. Is there any evidence that China's having success peeling away one of the Five Eyes, undermining confidence in Five Eyes? Or let's extend this to the Quad. Is there any evidence that China's having success peeling away or intimidating one of the Quad? That would be Japan, Australia, India, and the United States. What are they getting for all their rough language?
Well, this is the New Zealand question, right? So by far the weakest link in the Five Eyes is New Zealand, which their foreign minister said just a few weeks ago that she was uncomfortable with the Five Eyes, you know, making principled stand on common values around things like Hong Kong and the Uyghurs, and that they wanted it just to be an information sharing agreement, which basically means they just want information from everybody else, and then not necessarily stand for the common values that upon which the agreement was initially based. And again, this is a big problem, because in the same way that Australia is very important in Melanesian parts of Oceania, I think New Zealand is trying to position itself to be a leader within Polynesia, which is a very, very large area, and going essentially from kind of Hawaii to New Zealand, and from New Zealand through to French Polynesia. So it's the whole core of the Pacific. And the language that she was using very much made it clear that she wants New Zealand to be the interlocutor for Polynesia to larger powers, and that would include China. So if New Zealand is weak on China, which I think it would be hard to argue otherwise, then that compromises that entire massive swath of the southern central Pacific.
Gordon?
Cleo, you talked about China seeding its agents throughout Australia, and we've now just talked about the Five Eyes. The other weak member of the Five Eyes is a country with which you are quite familiar with, because you're a citizen of it, and that is Canada. I mean, can't we say the same things about Canada as we could say about Australia, except that it's much less resolute than the Australians?
Yeah, as a Canadian, I'm used to starting my sentences with, I'm sorry, but in this case, like, I really, really mean it. I'm sorry. You know, what the situation up in Canada is really, really not ideal. We're making decisions that are kind of incomprehensible. We've been heavily engaged with Chinese business interests, which then, of course, become strategic interests since the 1970s. And more recently, the confluence of economic, strategic, and criminal activity in Vancouver linked back to China is off the charts. I mean, the amount of money laundering and drug smuggling, the Port of Vancouver is weakly defended entry point for a lot of bad things coming out of China and into North America. So, yes, I think that it would help the sort of good guys in Canada if the U.S. would talk a little bit more about how it's concerned about Chinese penetration in Canada. Because as with Australia, you know, there are a lot of people in the system who are extremely concerned, and a lot of people who are making a lot of money off of China. So if we can identify those people, it helps to isolate them, and the global common good gets reinforced. We have a very serious problem in Canada.
Cleo Pascal of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang. This is CBSi on the World. I'm John Batchelor.